Welcome to the Every Nation Dorado Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Tell your neighbor it's a bit cold this morning. Sit a bit closer. I see the winter is coming. We want to encourage you not to migrate to the second service. Usually it's around this time of the year that we see the people making their way to the second service. Last year, I think we didn't have windows. That's true, right? We didn't have windows, and I think we didn't have doors and things. So this year around, we are taking care of you people. So, amen. Tomorrow is our day of prayer and fasting. We want to encourage you, particularly the men. Tomorrow is our men's day prayer and fasting. And we want to encourage all the men to please join us in our prayer meeting at 5:30 in the evening tomorrow. The ladies are also having their prayer meeting up here. We are going to be specifically dealing with matters pertaining to men. And so we believe that God has specifically indicated in his word that men everywhere ought to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger in their hearts, because they're trusting in God. And so if you're a man and if you're part of this church, tomorrow 5:30 particularly, we only do this once a month, and so it shouldn't be too much to ask 1 hour or 1.5 hour of you. And if you can only make it for a few moments, please do join us. It's amazing what God can do in a few minutes. Amen. And then we've got the growth weekend that we've been sharing, especially the victory training, the victory encounter. If you have not done the victory training, please do sign up for that. We do a spiritual house cleaning, so to speak. Many times we've got people coming up to the altar after the service, and there's deliverance that's taking place, and we're breaking all manner of curses and all things. But at the victory training, we deal with it very particularly. And some addictions, some things that you've been struggling with that you just can't part from. And so we want to encourage you to please sign up for that. It always ends up with somebody coming at the last minute and trying to ask the pastor for special favor to get in at the last minute. And we want to encourage you not to put me in that kind of position and just sign up early enough. Amen. Especially if you are my family members. All right. This morning is Michelle here. Michelle, please come. We're saying goodbye to Michelle. She's going back to Zimbabwe. She's been in our church for the last 4 years, graduated. And it was her brother's wedding just yesterday. And so, Michelle, we are really, really sad to say goodbye to you. And we believe that you have become part of our family here, and we are sending you off with the grace of God, and that you'll be reminded that just because you are not sitting here doesn't mean that you are no longer a child of God, but that you will continue to go in the grace and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you met some Namibian guys here over your time here. We pray that those things will develop to whatever place the Lord desires for you. Amen. Amen. Can we stretch our hands to her? Yeah, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your daughter and our sister. And Father, this morning we are sending Michelle off, Father God. We honor you for the transformative work that you've done in her life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the work that you have begun, he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, that your favor goes with her, that you are opening doors, Lord God, all over the nations, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We know that she's trusting you, Lord God, for certain things. We thank you that you are opening doors all over the nations, Father God, as she continues to serve you with a willing heart, Lord God. And we bless her today in Jesus' name. And we pray that she'll get married soon. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you see her, give her money. Give her money. Awesome. As we were just in worship, I really had a strong sense that God is healing people who are struggling with issues of mental illness and neurological diseases, issues of the brain. So if you're trusting God in that area, the grace of God is touching you this morning. If you're trusting God for on behalf of somebody else, whether it be a family member or somebody like that, that God is ministering to them this morning. And also cases of autoimmune disease where your nervous system is attacking your body or your immune system. So we pray the healing of God as we minister the word this morning. There's no condition that Jesus cannot heal. Amen. And then this week, we noticed something in the media, specifically in regards to the homosexual or LGBT community plus. And the reports came through about a murder that took place this week. I think it was in Ochimise. And someone that was mutilated and murdered, apparently, this is the idea is that it was done because of their sexual orientation, quote unquote. And the media is reporting that the provocation for this kind of activity is coming from the activity within the parliament to try and bring forth bills and laws that prohibit this kind of thing or homosexual marriage in Namibia. And it's also apparently coming from preachers who preach against lesbianism and homosexuality and transgenderism. And the insinuation is that we ought to stop, otherwise people will be murdered. Now, it couldn't be further from the truth. And it is important that we don't kowtow to this kind of manipulation. We don't endorse in any way, and we strongly condemn with the strongest terms the murder of any individual on the basis of their sins. We preach as strongly against fornications at 11 o'clock, and we don't see anyone being murdered as a result. We preach as strongly against adultery, theft, and corruption, and we don't see anyone being murdered for that reason. And so then, on that basis, we stand our ground, stating very clearly the position of the Word of God does not change, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that is the biblical position. If the nation wants to marry everything else, that is their situation. They will still have to deal with the judge of the living and the dead. And so in this church, we have seen people who have come from that kind of background, because we don't put homosexuality as a special sin. It is just like all the other sins, like adultery, just like fornication, just like lying, stealing, just like womanizing and manizing. They're all the same. And so we demand that you repent for all of those, including homosexuality. But if you don't, we will never murder you. Amen? Amen? So we state that very clearly on the record, and we pray for those who feel persecuted as a result. The anger of man does not walk the righteousness of God. And we pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Today we're continuing with our series called Set Apart Heart that we have started last week. And I believe that this is going to be a very incisive series, touching, really cutting to the core of the heart. And we said last week that it's very important that we understand that God deals with our hearts. And we can have pretensions on the outside, and we can come to church and sing songs. We can give to the church and we can go on missions and end up in hell. Because all those good things might be falsely performed out of a rotten heart. And so it's very important during the series that we consider your heart. The word of God in Psalm says, Lord, search my heart and know me. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the everlasting path. And so last week we started off with a subject concerning how your life and your heart and your faith are intertwined. That your heart, out of your heart comes your faith, comes your life. And today we're going to deal with fruitfulness and the four types of hearts. Next week, we're dealing with a hardened heart and the evil heart. The following week, we'll deal with the sick heart or the hopeless heart and how to address that. And then the following week, we'll deal with the broken heart, grief, and all those pains that many times we live with for many years, not understanding that it is poisoning our lives and our families. The following week, we'll deal with the merry heart, the importance of a joyful, cheerful heart. The seventh week, we'll deal with the undivided heart. And the last week, we'll deal with the new heart and the prophetic promise of God to give us a new heart, which is truly the fulfillment of the hope that every human being has, because the crisis that we have is that we've got heart issues. Look at your neighbor and say, I wonder if your heart is rotten. Because your breath can smell good, but your heart can be wicked. Amen? So today we're going to look at fruitfulness and the four types of heart. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is always rich towards us in all manner of wisdom, in all manner of life. And Father, that you have not sent us any other means by which we are to be transformed and by which we are to be elevated and promoted spiritually. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. It will not return void. And we make room in our hearts for it to germinate in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so it's very important, like we spoke last week, that your life comes from your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This was the second point last week. We said that you ought to keep your heart or guard or protect, garrison your heart with all vigilance or diligence. Protect your heart with all your efforts. For from it flow the springs of life. Out of your heart is flowing your life. And the word of God is a discerner of the heart. As we're dealing in the word of God, it will trigger and expose areas of your heart that you will not be able to discover through your therapist. You know, I love medical professionals, some of them very literally. And they do wonderful work. But in many instances, they have become a replacement for that which the word of God is supposed to address in our lives. And I know that everyone now that can afford it is going for a therapist. Everyone has a psychologist. Personally, I have not yet seen one. I say not yet because maybe. But so far, the word of God has been addressing many things in my heart. You look at me and you think, oh, Pastor Chris, why are you acting like you have no problems in life? Me, I also have problems in life. This is how you go through problems in life, you know. You don't plant yourself there. The word of God has given us, Jesus said to us, in this world you will have tribulation. What is tribulation? Problems. But take heart. Take what? I have overcome the world. Yes. There is a way that believers have an advantage in this wicked world. That we don't cower, we don't crumble as a result of the troubles that we see. In fact, the more we have all manner of affliction and trouble, the more amazing our walk with God. How many of you pray mainly when you have problems? Huh? Come on, wave at me. Don't leave me hanging alone here. Yeah. Because when there are no problems, why should you pray? Everything is fine. In fact, if you see your child fasting 3 times a week, you'll ask them, is everything okay? Why are you fasting 3 times a week? Are you fine? Because we have this idea that we pray and we fast because we have problems. No. We pray and we fast because we are opening our heart to know God. Amen. And obviously there are problems that are dealt in that way as well. But it's very important that we understand that our lives come from our hearts. Now today we're going to look at the importance of having a fruitful heart and how the condition of your heart determines that. So the first principle that we're sharing this morning is this, that fruitfulness is essential. Fruitfulness is essential. You can't be like, no, Pastor Chris, I'm a believer, but fruitfulness, I don't have to be fruitful. You know, that's for pastors and for deacons and for connect leaders, you know. I'm just a member. No, no, no. It's not all right for you just to be a member. Fruitfulness is essential. This is what John 15, verse 8, this is Jesus speaking on the night that he was betrayed. Speaking to his disciples, the last few words, he's encouraging them concerning the fact that in this world they'll have tribulation, take heart and all of that. He's encouraging them concerning the fact that he will send the Holy Spirit. He will not leave them as orphans. And so he begins to tell them that I am the vine and you are the branches. And then he says in John 15 verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. By this my Father in heaven is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so Jesus was saying, look, this fruitfulness thing is not optional. You must bear fruit, because if you do not bear fruit, you will not glorify my Father, and you will not prove yourself to be my disciples. You could be disciples of someone else that endorses your lack of fruitfulness. But if you are going to walk with Jesus Christ, and he is the vine, and you are the branches, the same life that is flowing in the vine is flowing in the branches. The same life that is flowing in the stem is flowing in the branches. So you can't say, no, that's Jesus. Jesus is special. Jesus has power. No, you are attached to Jesus the same way that a branch is attached to the stem. And so the same quality of the life that flows in Christ, hallelujah, flows in us. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. That implies that we have the same life that is moving in him. It says we are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Are you with me? And so you have to determine that I am not going to be fruitless. The fruitfulness of a fruit-bearing tree is the fulfillment of its potential. A fruit-bearing tree, I've told you before, I had this one tree that was not bearing fruit. The tendency of the farmer or of the husbandman towards a tree that is not bearing fruit is to cut it down. Why? Because it is drawing nutrients from the ground. It is taking up useless space. Pastor Chris, are you saying that Jesus will cut me down if I don't bear fruit? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Yes. The Word of God says this, you shall know them by their fruit. Watch out for these false prophets. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruits, not by their singing, not by their church attendance, not just by their smiles and their good intentions. You will know them by their fruit. No fruit, no root. Ask your neighbor, are you bearing fruit? Yeah. Because some of our neighbors are just leafy branches. Not leafy in Afrikaans, leafy. Just leaves everywhere. You remember Jesus was coming. They were going, I think, from Bethany to Jerusalem. And then he came to a certain fig tree and he was hungry. He came to the fig tree. He looked among the branches and he found only leaves. And the Bible says it wasn't even the season for fruits. And so Jesus was looking for something to eat and the plant had nothing. And so this is what he said. Let no man ever eat anything from you ever again. And he walked away. A couple of days they came back through the same path and Peter noticed that the tree that was fruitless, that Jesus had spoken to, was now withered from the roots up. It was drying up. And Peter said, Master, the tree that you have cursed has withered up. And Jesus began to teach them about faith. But the principle is this. The tree was cursed because of the lack of fruit. Yes. Your life is for fruitfulness to the glory of God. That is the purpose of your life. It's not just to make your spouse happy or to have a good career or to have a good qualification or to have this or to enjoy life and be happy. No, the purpose of life is not to enjoy life and be happy. That is a side result of glorifying God. And so your life ought to bear fruit. Why am I emphasizing this? Because there are too many Christians who are happy with being fruitless. Pastor Chris, what kind of fruit are you talking about? There are various kinds of fruit. The term fruit is a generic term to say productive. But in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, it specifies that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such as this, there is no law. And then it says, and the works of the flesh are evident. Number one, sexual immorality. Number two, sorcery. Number three, debauchery. Number four, lasciviousness. Number five, orgies. Number six, factions. All sorts of wickedness. How do you know if someone is a true Christian? I believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I believe. Words that are empty with a heart that is empty. Let me say this. On that day, you know that day? That day. On that day, many will say to Jesus, didn't we do this? I was at every nation. And he will say, depart from me, you fruitless tree, you worker of iniquity. Pastor Chris, are you saying that I have to work my way to salvation? No. We're saying that you need to search your heart, make sure that you are bearing fruit, because if you are not bearing fruit, there's a problem that you cannot be okay with. Amen? And so it's by this, my Father is glorified. Do you want to glorify God? I only heard three people. Do you want to glorify God? Yes, thank you, church. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear how much fruit? Much fruit, not just two or three, much fruit. It must be abundant in your life. And so prove to be the disciple of Jesus. Prove it by your fruitfulness. Number two, we're going to look here now at the four types of heart that affect the fruitfulness of your life. Very, very important. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. This is Matthew 13, This is the most important parable in the ministry of Jesus. He said, if you understand this one, you'll be able to understand all the others. And it says, he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. A sower is someone like a farmer, went out sowing seed. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, along the road, and the birds came. You must pay very specific attention. There are many clues that we are going to teach here. And some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it, meaning the seed fell on the road, and birds came and ate up the seed. Next one. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, stones, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. So these ones fell on ground, but it was rocky. And because there wasn't enough soil, immediately you saw some kind of leaves and the plant started coming up. But when the sun started shining on it, it started to burn. And since they had no root, they withered away, meaning they died. So the first seeds, no fruit, no plant. The second seeds, no fruit, no plant. Let's look at the third one. Next one. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. So the thorns stifled and killed the plant. No fruit. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is Jesus speaking. And so the disciples asked him, why do you speak to people in parables? Just talk to them plainly. And so there is a prophetic reason why Jesus is not speaking very plainly, because his ministry is limited under the old covenant. And then he says, I'll send the Holy Spirit through the epistles. This is why the New Testament epistles, the writings of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James, are very important to elaborate on what Jesus preached and taught, because he wasn't giving everything. Okay? He said to his disciples, I cannot tell you everything because you are not yet ready. But the teacher come, the helper will come, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will lead you into all truth by means of the revelation of the church. Okay? And so here they ask him, then give us the meaning. What's the meaning? What's the meaning of this parable? Okay? So we're going to go here to the meaning of this parable. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Okay, so this is the first seed. The seed that was thrown by the wayside that fell on the road and on the path. What happened to it? The birds came and ate it. No fruit, no root, nothing. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So the soils represent hearts, different kind of hearts. There might be rocky people here. There might be by the side of the road people here. There might be fruitful ground here. There might be thorny people. The condition of the soil is the condition of your heart. Are you following? And the first one is that when you hear the word of the kingdom and you do not understand it, you are like someone who is plant, the seed is just falling on the side. This is why it's very important to pay attention when the word of God is going out. Those of us who listen to the word of God while you are doing many other things and all of that, you will get many things, but many things you will not get. And what happens is, if you are not paying attention, after we close the service on a Sunday morning, and we say, may the Lord bless you, and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. And you receive, amen, you receive the blessing. And you take your bags and you walk out. Hello, the moment you get greeted, hello, how are you? Oh, yeah, whoa. Chop. There goes the seed. You just got to the car, and one of the ushers said, ma'am, can you take this road? And you're like, no, don't tell me where to park. The devil comes and snatches it away. Can you consider that if the devil was powerful enough, you would be dead by now? Do you understand that he wants you dead? A good Christian is a dead Christian. That's their motto there. Are you with me? So he wants to kill, steal, destroy. But because he is not able, there are reasons why. There are people praying for you. There are things that are, there are angels. You say, no, I'm just alone. Where is God? The fact that you are alive saying that means God is alive in your life. And so the enemy goes for the word because he knows that's where your future is. Are you with me? So what is the first principle here? You must understand. Don't just read your Bible. Read just to read. Some people do like Bible roulette. Huh? Only the gambling people will understand. You just open the Bible. You open your Bible. And you do like this. Thank you, Jesus. Shemaiah, son of Hashub. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to school. What benefit is Shemaiah, son of Hashim? Zero. And by the end of the day, you would have forgotten Shemaiah. You have forgotten Shem. Hashim. You know, the word of God is written to us in comprehensible language. People died to give the word of God to you in your own language. The missionaries, many of them, the work that they did was to translate the scripture in the vernacular. How many of you have handled an Oshiwambo Bible? Yes. Oshirero Bible? Yes. Afrikaans? English? German? Shona? Yeah. And so, it is in your... For what reason? If you think that it's just spiritual osmosis, that it's just moving from the place where it's concentrated in the Bible into a place where there's nothing. If the pressure is moving, you know? Like some people study, they put the books under the pillow and the korababosha and fail. And so it is important that you understand. Otherwise, you are sowing on the wayside, wasting seed. And it says, this was what was sown along the path. Give us the next one. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. They came to church. They hear the word, and then it says, immediately they receive it with joy. So there is an element where they are understanding what is coming across. They receive it with joy. They are excited. They maybe even cry. They came to give their life to the Lord. They are repentant. They want to change their lives. Hallelujah. This is most people. And then it says, yet, verse 21, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, it is always because of the word that they are coming against you. When persecution and tribulation come, on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Remember what we said? When people come to Christ, when people come to church, and they especially come to look for a job, come to look for a husband, come to look for a wife, come to look for a breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. They come for some miracle, and then when they get their breakthrough, breakthrough, we never see them again. Why? Because they were never interested in God. They were only interested in something that benefits them. And what will test that seed is persecution and tribulation. Both of them are promised. The Word of God says, everyone who wants to live a godly life will suffer persecution. And it says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So the believer is on a path that is full of persecution and full of tribulation. So the chances are that the word that you are receiving today is going to be tested by trial and persecution. Have you met many people that backslide because, no, I've got problems? Yes. They were walking in the Lord, and then a family member dies. They were walking in the Lord, and then they lose a child. They were walking in the Lord, and then they become unemployed. They get retrenched by the company. We are starting retrenchment, and we are starting with the children of God. All the Christians, you are first, because you have a special pension plan with God. No, we need it. And so persecution comes. Sometimes you gave your life to Christ, and we have had students like this. You gave your life to Christ, and the money from the parents in the country where they sent you from, the allowance ended. Because now you are almost born again. Yes. You decide to get baptized, and your family rejects you. Because you are already baptized as a baby. Persecution. How many of you have gone through persecution because of the word? How many of you have gone through tribulation? Yeah, you were fine. And then you give your life to Christ, and all of a sudden, your spouse is unhappy. Why are you unhappy? I didn't marry a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm just in the word. No, I didn't marry a pastor. Pastor, pastor, pastor. It's just church, 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 church. It's not easy. Giving your life to Christ in Namibia might be convenient. Put yourself in a context where your background is Islamic or Hinduist. You are going to be disowned. And if the root is not in your heart, I'm telling you now, you will fall away immediately. We have not yet even seen persecution of Christians in this country. You just say, yeah, they posted about me on Twitter. They posted about me on Instagram. I'm under such persecutions. No, no, that's not persecution. Persecution is they blocked you there at the gate, and they punched you and they beat you. I remember when I was in South Africa leading the youth ministry, there was one young man in the ministry that was very passionate about the things of God. And it's wonderful to have such people in the ministry. And so he was always wanting to go evangelize, but obviously he also wanted to rally his youth pastor to go with him. So I was always like, I mean, I love evangelizing, but that was on another level. So the one time I'm walking with him, and we are walking on the way to one of the youth parents' houses, just a random day. And me and him used to go to the middle of the mall, yeah? Like Post Street Mall in Vernal Park. It's a little bit open. So what we'll do is we'll bring a crate with us, and then we'll put it in the middle of that Post Street Mall area, and then we'll bring money. We draw money from the ATM, and we put it in change of like $10, $10, $10. And then we stand on the crate and we say, free money, free money. And then a crowd will come running like this. Then we start asking them Bible trivia. What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? Oh, you shall have, oh, here you go. More people come like this. We ask them, and then we preach the scriptures and we preach the gospel to the people. And then when the security guards are coming, then we take our crate. And we run. So one time we were on the way to one of the parents' house walking. And as we were walking, we were close to the place. We were passing the one house. And just outside, you know, the gate was open and the fence was low. And we saw some guys, you know, some Afrikaans guys. Some Boere Owens. And they were just there having a braai, you know. Just outside there having a braai. Shirtless, about eight of them. No shirts. You know, it's Friday, beer in the hand, a choppy orikula. And so the guys are just having a good time. And so me and my brother in the Lord, we are walking past and he gets this inspirational idea from God. Pastor Chris, there's an opportunity for us to preach to these guys. And this brother is white. So spot the odd one out. Hey. So then he said, there's an opportunity. And what must your youth pastor always answer at a call for evangelism? Hallelujah. Let's go. So we get there, and immediately as we come towards the gate, the guys look at us. And you always have to enter into that place with great enthusiasm. Hello, hello, Owens. Hello, Mana. Hello. And so we start trying to build that connection. And the guys are like, yeah, yeah, what is it? What is it? We're like, no, we just want to talk to you guys for a short while, you know. And then we start to have that conversation. Do you guys know the Lord? And immediately one of the guys said, near. You guys must get out of here now. Then he wanted to basically come and push us on the chest, like, you know, and at that point, all your adrenalines are like, hey, we are going to fight today. And so he begins to push us on the chest, and one of them in the group says, wach. Come on, swear what the angel say. You know how the Lord is faithful. Let's hear what the guys want to say. So then we are there trembling, you know, talking to them about the love of God and all of that. And when we were done, the guy said, okay, thank you. And the other guy that wanted to fight us was just at the back like this. You know, I think that brother had demons. Demons from the Free State. And so persecution. That day, in my heart, I was ready to prove that I was a real Christian with some punches in the mouth. Yes, it was going to be a testimony. Yes. But this is the reality that most of us have never been confronted with. Yes. Anyone can call themselves a Christian, but it doesn't mean that you will stay. Give us the next one. Then there was the seed that fell among the thorns. These are the ones that hear the word of God, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This heart is many Namibians, especially now that we are coming into our green hydrogen and petroleums. We've said it before. Some of us are Christians now because we are too poor. Yes. Too poor to be tempted on a certain level. Yes. Yes. And so if we were earning 100,000 or 200,000 a month, we will not be here. Yes. And so what happens is you hear the word of God, but it is competing with the cares of this world. Worry, anxiety is competing for space in your heart against the word of God. It is like when there are two plants that are growing together, one needs to be cut down to make room for the other one, isn't it? Yes. And so it's either you cut the word or you cut down your selfish ambition. It's either you cut down the word or you cut down your own worries and cares of this world. It's either you cut down the word or you cut down your desire to be wealthy. Pastor Chris, are you saying that we shouldn't have ambition and go for it? The word of God warns against selfish ambition. It says, make it your ambition to live for the Lord. Because when the decision comes up, and I've spoken to some of my guys that we are discipling now, and you talk to them and you say to them, my guy, you are a business guy. Yes, I'm a business guy. And it's rough out there, Pastor Chris. It's rough out there. You know, the system is rigged. You want a tender? You have to bring the brown envelope. This is just how business is done. And obviously he's saying this is how he was doing business. And so you say to the man, no, now you are born again. You can no longer do bribery and corruption type of business. Pastor Chris, then you don't know, you don't understand. As if I was born yesterday and I've never run a business. But the decision will come when you will have to say no to $1 million. Because the path to that $1 million is a corruption of the seed of God's word in your heart. And what will you say when that comes across your table? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Pastor Chris, I'm single. I want to get married. And the Christian guys at every nation, they are not serious. They don't want to marry the sisters. They say they are not ready. They are praying about it. But there is one guy. I know he loves me. He told me so. And I believe him. And so you ask her, so what's the problem? But he's not born again, like born again. He's just born again, you know? He's just born again, like, you know? He's been baptized as a baby, born again. Like we are all Christians, isn't it? Yes. That thing can begin to destroy your life. And because you are born again, you have to say, I man, and block the brother. So that the word of God will not be blocked in your life. It is a sacrificial life. Take up your cross and follow me. Tell your neighbor, are you carrying your cross or did you leave it in 1994? Yes. How many of us are willing to be single and poor for the sake of the kingdom of God? I see two hands. The others are like, I'll wait till the prayer meeting tomorrow. Yes. The word of God says that if you are not willing to leave behind everything, you are not worthy to be my disciple. What does that mean? You must be willing to clear the land of your heart. Nothing must compete with the word of God in your heart. Otherwise, the fruit will not be there. Give us the last one there. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Indeed, he bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60-fold, and another 30-fold. And so there is this fruitfulness that God desires. And you see, even on the good soil, there are degrees of harvest. Why? Because even on the good soil, some are not planting enough of the seed. Some are not watering that seed. You can clear the ground, but that's not where it ends. You have to cultivate your life. Give us the next one here. Very important. You have to cultivate your heart. This morning you are here. And sometimes in church you are like, oh man, I came for an encouraging message. They are telling us to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow. We are not here to encourage and motivate. This is not a motivational speaking organization. We are here to just preach the truth. And if it cuts to the left, then you go to the right. If it cuts to the right, then you go to the left. Adjust your life according to the truth. Are you with me? And so I'm just going to read for us a few principles of how to clear the ground of your heart practically. This is not exhaustive. Give us the next one there. Number one, get born again. John 3, verse 3. Number two, if you are not even born again, you don't have the right heart anyway. Number two, get rid of lies. There are lies you believe that are holding you in bondage. If you don't know the word, if you don't listen to preaching, you'll never know that you believe a lie. Get rid of lies. Lies are like thorns. They are like stones. They are destroying your life. Number three, refuse to worry and have anxiety. Refuse it. Pastor Chris, how can you say that I can choose not to worry? I can choose to just go to bed and sleep while I've got problems in life. You can. Look at Jesus sleeping in the boat. It's a massive storm, sleeping in the boat. The word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard. Remember, guard your heart. Will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You must, I'm telling you now, if there's one thing that you can do yourself a favor, is refuse your anxieties. But you will have to have a prayer life. You will have to have the word of God in your life. You can't help but be worried. I remember the one preacher saying, my son, my daughter, don't worry. This is now God speaking, a prophetic word. My son, my daughter, don't worry. I know that you are going through troubles. If I didn't believe in the word, I would also be worried. Yes. And then number four, be content and shun mammon. Mammon is the spirit of money. Money is not a problem. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Amen? How many of us love money here? Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. The others are lying here today. Hey. You have to deal with that love of money. The love of money shows up how? Trust of money. Trusting God, use money. Work hard not to have a lot of money. Work hard to fulfill God's potential for your life. Number five, avoid evil, bad, and negative company. Weed them out. If you have ungodly friends, then not my best friend is an ungodly person. Block, delete, expose, throw out. My boyfriend is ungodly. Dump the joker. My girlfriend is not born again. Dump the sister. Am I being too subtle? Did you not understand what I said? Dump them and dump them today. Tell your neighbor, dump them today. Yeah. Then, number six, forgive everyone. Even your enemies, yeah. Forgive everyone. Say it with me, forgive. Everyone. Forgive. Everyone. Yes, if you have not forgiven someone, it is a thorn. It is a stone in your heart that is choking the word of God. You can say, Lord, breakthrough, breakthrough. I declare. All of those confessions will not work because the soil is corrupt. Then, number seven, keep a clear conscience. You will shipwreck your faith if you go against your conscience, even if it's not a principle that is required by the word. For instance, if you feel guilty to eat pork, don't eat it. But the word of God says you can eat anything as long as you pray for it. It's true. That matangara, you can eat it. But some people feel like, no, there's something not right, especially if it was food served at a certain family meeting. Then you don't eat. Just ask for vegetables or something. Are there carrots? I'll have some carrots in Jesus' name. Because if you violate your conscience, soon enough, your faith will be shipwrecked. And lastly, plant seeds daily. You are here today, you are planting seeds, amen? Yes, your heart is open, you are receiving the seed of God in your heart. But do this daily. Once a week is not enough. So read the word daily. Meditate in the word daily. Pray in the spirit daily. Renew your mind daily. This will enhance the acceleration of your transformation. Why am I not changing? It's been 12 years in the church. Because you only read your Bible once a year. If you read your Bible more, if you obeyed what you read, if you understood what you heard, you will grow way faster. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, that's enough. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. You You know, I always have much more to say to you, church. Well, thank God for what we have received today. Amen. Where you are, I want to say this to you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not transforming your life by means of guilt. You are transforming your life by means of revelation. Oh, truth. Renew your mind and you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. But make sure your heart is fruitful. In this church, one person will say, I'm growing. My life has changed over the last year. I've just been transforming from one level of glory to the next level of glory, from one testimony to another testimony. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the other one is like, oh, this church, you know, they're always talking about give people money. And they're always asking, go to victory. In the same church with the same pastor in the same suit. But what's the difference? The hearts that are receiving the same word. Judas was in Jesus' connect group. Ask your neighbor, are you a Judas? Some of you are not asking your neighbor. Because maybe you know they are a Judas, pastor. Then let me not ask. Judas was in Jesus' connect group. So don't come and say, no, in this church, the basic thing, the little bit we give you is able to change the whole world and restore your family. Amen. So lift your hands to the Lord and pray right now. Say, Lord Jesus, help me with my heart. Help me to clear my heart. Help me to make my heart available for your word. Let your will be done in my heart. I humble myself and I receive your word into my heart this morning. I repent of the way I was thinking, the way I was going. And I say yes to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, I know that we've run out of time. You're not born again and you haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You come to church, but my goodness, you are on your way to hell, knowing some church songs that you will sing there. The Lord says that today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Every man must be born again. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. All your efforts are insufficient. You must be born again. You need a new heart that only Jesus can give. Amen. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. You are convicted in your heart. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Today is the day for you to give your life to Christ. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, just raise your hand quickly to receive Jesus. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Very quickly, very quickly. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Yes. You want to receive Jesus. We are not changing ourselves here. Jesus changed us, but we had to open our hearts and say, Lord, I'm here. Amen. Those of you are lifting up your hand, please bring your iPhone and your bag with, and please come and stand here. I want to pray for you. Come quickly. Come to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? I saw a fourth hand, you know. Don't let those birds, you see those birds, they come quickly. Is there anybody else you need to come, you know? The parking lot is filling up already. I've got good news for you guys. Yeah. The worst sinner the worst sinner is not too bad for Jesus to change their hearts. But it requires humility. Yeah, you have tried your own way, and it went to the dogs. It went to hell. And now you have said, Lord, you are the only Savior. I come to you today. Can we pray for them? Open your hands like this. Are you here to repent of your sins? Okay. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I don't know everything, but one thing I know is that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Today I believe with all of my heart that Jesus died for me, for my sins. He suffered for me in my place so that I could live. And in 3 days, I believe Jesus is raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, you are alive. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I give you my heart. I receive a new heart. Renew my mind. Set me free. Wash me clean. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Wash away my sins. I receive new life today as a free gift. From today, I'm born again. I'm never going back again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This lady is here. She is going to pray with you guys for a few moments, okay? The Lord is really changing your life, okay? Yeah, you have not come to some guy. You have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He always keeps those who are committed to him. Thank you, Lord. So just follow her. She's going to spend some time with you guys, praying with you. God bless you. Welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift up our hands? May the Lord bless you. As you go through trials, as you go through tribulations, may the anchor of the hope that is in Christ be your stabilizing force, that you will not move to the left or to the right, because the Lord Jesus Christ is your firm foundation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious towards you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you the peace that causes you to prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit envintook.org.